Certainly glad to see you here again tonight, study again from God's will. Appreciate the fact of everyone that's here tonight to come together to worship with us. The papers here on the front are the Wednesday night class. The books, they haven't come in yet. Poor Mr. Berryman, he is struggling without Wimpy. Wimpy ran the bookstore for 40-some years, I suppose. And our books are supposed to be in this week. So he gave me permission on Friday at 10:30 in the morning to go ahead and make the copies of that, so we're not under copyright infringement. But go ahead and get one of those lessons, study lesson number one, for this Wednesday night. And then I encourage you to come to the Friday night class. We've been having excellent crowds at the Friday night class. And hopefully you can come to that as we wind down this year with the Friday night class. Also, with the website, I appreciate Jason doing the website. The website's just getting more popular all the time. We had some people here today that came because of the website from Missouri. So that's just amazing to think about that. Think about people listening to the website and then wanting to come and to be a part of worship service here. So that's it's amazing. You can go into all the world for $29.95. That's great. Tonight we want to finish up what we studied this morning, lesson or part number two, concerning that believing God. We talked about this morning concerning the Apostle Paul as he is thinking that he's going to be shipwrecked, and an angel appears to him. And it says in verse 22, "Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong, to whom I serve, who said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul, for you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore take heart, men, for he says, I believe God.'" And of course, a lot of times we talk about believing in God, and we spend a lot of time on this this morning talking about believing in God. But he had full trust, he had full confidence, dependence and reliance upon God. We looked at different passages concerning this about without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. There is the side of that you need to believe in God, and as well you need to believe God. And of course they're not the same. In Acts chapter 1 and in verse 1, the former account, that being the book of Luke, "I made old Theophilus that Jesus began both to do and to teach." And again, the idea there of believing in Jesus and that of believing him, what he taught, that you're going to obey what he taught. At the end of the book of John, as we talked about this morning, truly, "There are many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name." And again, there are those that believe in Christ, but then there are those that need to believe Christ, to obey what Jesus says. John chapter 5 and in verse 10, "For he who believes in the Son of God has witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son." And again, when we talk about this, we're talking about that of believing God or believing the testimony of God. And then, of course, this is the challenge. And we talked about the challenge this morning concerning different Bible characters, those that believed in God and those that believed God. We went down a list of different Bible characters, from Noah to Hannah to Hezekiah and on down through Ezra. Tonight I want to do part two, though, of this, those who face the challenge in part one. Now my challenge and your challenge concerning the fact not only believing in God, but believing God. There are those that believe in God. In Hebrews chapter 11 again. And in verse 6, Hebrews 11 and in verse 6. Says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We see that Jesus and God is real. We talked about last week about the Mormons, and they believe that God was flesh and blood. But we see that God is real. We also see that God is the creator of the universe. There is a beautiful passage in the book of Psalms. In Psalm chapter 33, Psalm chapter 33, and in verses 6 through 9, Psalm 33, and in verses 6 through 9, he says Psalm 33, and in verse 6 beginning, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And we read that so casually. When we think about how far our galaxy is across. Think about how many other billions of galaxies there are out there. And to just read a simple passage like this. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. And by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. A lot of times we use the word awesome. Oh, this is awesome, and that's awesome, and your car is awesome, and where we eat is awesome. The only thing that's awesome is God. We see in verse 9, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. A beautiful, beautiful passage. We also see that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in John chapter 8 and in verse 24. John 8 and in verse 24. It says in John 8 and in verse 24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, and you, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So we believe in God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There are other things that we believe. We believe that salvation is through Jesus Christ. And Acts chapter 4. After what happens with Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful, to where they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, arise and walk. And then these disciples get in trouble. And they're told not to preach. They're told not to preach this gospel anymore. And in Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12, Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12 it says, and there is no salvation. There is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men which by we must be saved. We believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. We believe in God concerning that. In Romans and in chapter 1 and in verse 4, Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4. He says in Romans chapter 1 and in verse 4. It says, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then the last point in this part of the lesson. We believe the Bible is God's revelation. In 2 Timothy and in chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and in verses 16 and 17, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. You know what you have to do to make a profit. Jack's in business for himself now. In order to make a profit, he has to make an investment in something. Might be an investment in himself. It might be an investment in equipment. In order for you to draw interest on your money, you have to make an investment. And he says here, the word of God is profitable. We have to invest. We have to invest ourselves in the word of God. He says, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Well, yes, Rob, I agree with all these things. I believe in God. The flip side of this is, do you believe God? We're not talking about Noah now. Where Noah did everything that the Lord had commanded. We're not talking about Hannah now, to where at one point in time she was sad, and all of a sudden now Eli comes and tells her that she's going to have a child, and she's not going to be sad any longer. She believed in God. We're talking about you and I. Whether or not we believe God. Oh yes, I believe in God. But do I believe God? We're ready to defend our faith against all challenges. But do I believe God? Number one. Do I believe God in the fact that He controls the world and nations? I see people fall apart at elections. Whether the election goes your way or doesn't go your way, some people are happy. Some people think it's the end of the world. But what I read in my Bible, over in Daniel and in chapter 4 and in verse 25, Daniel chapter 4 and in verse 25. So whether it's Hillary or the Trumpster or Bernie Sanders or whoever we're going to get this next time, I'll read this to you. He says in verse 25, chapter 4 of Daniel, he says that you may be driven away from mankind and your dwelling place be like the beast of the field, and that you be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and He bestows it on whomever He wishes. He bestows it on whomever He wishes. So what does that tell me? That tells me that I'm not going to get all upset over this election or over the next election or the election after that, because I understand one thing: God has always been in control, and God continues to be in control. So I not only believe in God, but I believe God, what God said. He hears and answers prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 2, verse 12. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Do you believe that? Do you believe that he hears and answers prayers? I know most of the prayers that we pray about most of the time are very selfish things. Oh, Lord, I wish I had a new car. Oh, Lord, I wish I had a new house. Oh, Lord, wish I had this, that, and the other. Or maybe it's the fact that we get into a bind a lot of times and then we're going to call upon God. But do you believe God? Do you believe that he hears and answers prayers? Do you believe a couple of years ago with their little grandson had cancer and we thought there was going to be many, many treatments. And people here and people all over the world prayed for that little boy. And all of a sudden he didn't have to have hardly any treatments. Did you believe God? Do you believe that God heard and answered prayers? Judy Rush is up against a wall. As I told you this morning, I had been with Judy's sisters when they had cancer. And it didn't. It didn't turn out well. Do you believe that God hears and answers prayers they will for Judy Rush? It might not be the answer that you want. But do you believe that God answers prayers? I believe in God, but do I believe God? How about respect and obey your parents? We see over in Ephesians and in chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. For our kids here tonight, oh, you might challenge your professor regarding things that he teaches that are contrary to the Word of God. Maybe evolution, maybe something else. And you'll stand firm on the Word of God against your professor. Well, when you get home that night, your mom and dad tell you to clean your room and you don't do it. Do you believe God? Yes, I believe in God. I'm going to defend God. I'm going to defend my belief in God. But when my parents tell me to do something simple like to clean my room, I'm not going to do it. You don't believe God. If you believe God, you're going to obey your parents. In Proverbs 22 and in verse 6. Proverbs 22 and in verse 6. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Years ago, someone in the congregation was dying. Their children had left the Lord for a number of years. Many years, in fact, maybe decades. When I was sitting there in the waiting room that night, We were sitting there and Jeopardy was on. And the topic came up in Jeopardy, the Bible. And I watched as that person rattle off the Bible answers on Jeopardy. The person had a foundation. Had a foundation, a clear foundation in the Word of God, where he or she knew the Word of God. Because of the fact of parents that believe this. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Maybe the fact not allow to be tempted greater than what you are able to bear. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13. So in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. With the temptation will provide a way of escape that you'll be able to endure. Do you believe God? The world is getting crazier all the time. I was watching the news last night and this morning about now women want to go topless in Louisville, Kentucky. And I think, what in the world? What in the world are we going to see next? What's going to happen? How far is this thing going to go? But he says here, do you believe God? That no temptation is taken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape that you're able to bear. Do you believe God? In Philippians chapter 4, several of the TV preachers have turned this verse around to where it's a positive mental attitude verse now for a lot of people. And this idea has crept into the church now, I suppose. Chapter 4 and in verse 13, it says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And the idea is, well, if you need to have $1 million, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, and you just give a little seed money here to this ministry, and then God is going to bless you with $1 million. Or whatever it is. That's not the idea. The idea is that I can obey any command. The idea is I can obey what God says. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The question is, do you believe God? Maybe it's that there is power in the Word of God. I was up in Memphis, Indiana, preaching when I was a very young man. And Brother Staggs was there. And I had gone on for about 50 minutes, I suppose. And I was waiting for Brother Staggs to come out so that he could tell me what a great job I had done that morning at Memphis. He came out. He looked at me. He never called me Rob or Robbie or Robert. He always called me Knucklehead. He said, Knucklehead. He said, Knucklehead, don't get in the way of the gospel. Don't get in the way of the gospel. Don't say what you have to say so much of the time that you don't let the gospel have its power that it's intended to have. A lot of people, they believe, well, I tell you what, if we could just do different things. Here's the passage. It says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God, salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. A lot of churches are thinking, well, I tell you what we can do. What we can do, if we build a $4 or $5 million building, we'll get more people to come. We built a $100,000 building here back in 1965, and we have never been as large as we were in 1962 at Park Boulevard. We never had as many people in this building that we had in that building, other than two times when Roy Cogdell preached here one Sunday and when we had a debate. But all the rest of the time was over in a little dinky house over in Highland Park. Because people might have thought, If you build a larger building, then you're gonna have 500-600 people come all the time. You have more electronics. You have more gadgets here that we can get people more entertained with. Then you're gonna have more people. No, you have to believe God, and God says that the power is in the Word. The power is in the Word. Do you believe God? Very quickly. Do we give as we're prospered? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And in verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 1 and 2. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of the week, each one of you shall put aside and save, that he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. Do you believe God? How about association with evil corrupts? Do you believe God? Do you believe God to the point that if you associate with evil, it is going to corrupt you? That's what God says. Not only do you believe in God, but do you believe God? And the last thing here, do you believe God when he says that he's going to return? 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 10, 2 Peter 3 and in verse 10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. A lot of people don't believe God concerning that. Jehovah's Witnesses, there are a group of people that don't believe God concerning that. They believe the earth is going to be here forever. Just 144,000 are going to be up in heaven. Everybody else is going to be on the earth. And all the evil people are going to be annihilated. But do you believe God? Do you believe God enough to obey? It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe God. And it's even another to act upon that faith. And of course, Moses didn't. He hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. And therefore they were punished because they did not believe God. In conclusion, Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25. And then verse 11, Jeremiah 25, verse 11. It says this whole land will be a desolation and a horror. And these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years.
It's awful.
Awful what's going to happen to the people of Judah. But he believed that Israel would return. In fact, in chapter 32, he bought a field. Bought a field. So that he could have when he came back 70 years later. Do you believe God? I know you believe in God. But do you believe God? We would encourage you this evening that if you need to respond to the truth in any way, to invite you to come right now while together we stand and we sing.